Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match. 20 minutes a day,
365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What's up, friends? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. I know it's Monday. Mondays are usually the worst, but it's always better when you can talk Green Bay Packers. So thanks so much for being here. We have a lot to go over. Specifically, we're going to talk today about the Packers rookies, and I want to go rookie by rookie and go over their performance in training camp slash family night so far and where things stand with each of the rookies as we look forward to these next few weeks of preseason action and then get ready for Packers Eagles. Before we get there, quick shout out to new member JW. JW, thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. If you haven't checked that out yet, make sure to do so. Like, subscribe, comment, 5-star reviews, but definitely check out those Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships. And of course, we've got the Luigi's Pizza. This is what I've been talking about. This is the fresh dough one. You can see it right there. Common misconception, you don't preheat the oven. You just turn the oven on, you put it in, and what do we got? 18 to 20 minutes, I think it is. 18 to 22 minutes. This is like, I know like in some cases, like the sponsor will like ship you with it. No, this is constantly in my freezer. They're the absolute best. And of course, we've got the Luigi's Player of the Week. Listen, I'm going to keep this one pretty simple. I'm going Romeo Doubs as the player of the week from last week. I thought he had a tremendous family night. He had a really great week of practice, multiple wins against Jair Alexander in one-on-ones. There's this constant, of course, battle of who's going to be the Packers' number one wide receiver. And like I said, it's going to change throughout the course of a game, throughout the course of a month, throughout the course, all of it. It's just going to constantly be evolving because all these wide receivers are super talented. But last week, it was Romeo Doubs. Now we'll see what this week brings, but Romeo Doubs put himself in conversation for being, I don't even want to say number one wide receiver because that's not a thing that actually exists in this offense, but he is certainly going to remain a favorite target of Jordan Love. And just based on his performance last week, if nothing else, he wins the Luigi's Player of the Week. Again, get yourself some Luigi's Pizza from your grocer in the freezer section. They're the absolute best. I cannot recommend them enough. And of course, follow Luigi's Pizza on Twitter as well. All right, let's get into this. Rookie by rookie from first round to seventh round. And let's assess where these rookies are at so far. First and foremost, Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman, first round. I actually want to start with a different discussion first because I've seen a little bit of this and I want to go over it because I think it's important. I've seen a lot of people, not a lot, I take that back entirely. I've seen a smattering of people, a few people here or there, start talking about the fact that they're not happy that Jordan Morgan is moving to right guard, or they feel like now it is a waste of a first round draft pick if he's at guard and there's not enough positional enough. And I know it's just maybe a handful of people that are feeling that way. You guys hear me during draft time, right? I talk all the time about how the Packers really, in the first round, favor positional value, premium positions, big time opportunities to get all pro type of players, high end athleticism. They're usually, you know, big game hunting at that point in the draft. First round, they want to swing for somebody that they think can be a game changing player for them. So I understand why some people might hear that. And I agree with that philosophy, by the way. Go out and find somebody that you think can be a big time performer that can be a game changer for you and your team. Totally agree with that philosophy. And Green Bay has done that in almost every single draft. But Jordan Morgan now is at right guard. So how does that fit? Clearly, they did not go positional value because guard is not considered in that same echelon of quarterback, offensive tackle, wide receiver, defensive end, defensive tackle, and corner. Usually those are kind of the ones that are considered more of your premium positions. Well, here's the thing. First of all, when you're swinging for the fences in the first round, having somebody who has played left tackle, who primarily projects as a left tackle and has a ton of versatility, is still swinging for that first round value as a potential left tackle. If Jordan Morgan goes out this year and is a really good right guard, or starts at guard, right? it does not mean that in the future, he can't be a tackle, okay? That's the first thing I'll say. The second thing is, let's just say they got the next Elgton Jenkins, okay? Elgton was, what, 40 pick 45, somewhere in there, early to mid second round. If you got another Elgton Jenkins in the first round, is anyone going to be upset with that? Somebody who's a really good guard, maybe not that all pro slash Pro Bowl level player, but a really good guard who can play multiple positions on the offensive line in a pinch. Would anyone be too upset by that? I certainly would not be. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, you want an overarching philosophy of how you go about the draft. And Green Bay has that. And I think sometimes, though, it's important that you go for that big swing, but it's always great, and we talk about this all the time, to give yourself outs and other possibilities. And even if Jordan Morgan ultimately does not work out at tackle, but he just ends up being a really good guard, that is still a very good result from your first round pick. Now, job not done. Jordan still needs to go out and perform and be not only a starter at guard, but a good starter at guard. There's layers to this and levels to this. But at this point in his career, we are in the infancy stages of Jordan Morgan's career. And nobody is limiting him at this point to just right guard. He has a huge future ahead of him. And right now, on this offensive line, Green Bay rightfully, by the way, recognized that Rashid Walker is one of the best five and he's at left tackle. That Elgton is one of the best five and is going to probably stay at left guard. That Zach Tom is one of the best five and is going to start at right tackle. And if you didn't want to move Elgton or Zach Tom, which is maybe a different discussion for a different day, they felt that Josh Myers was their best bet at center. That one we can maybe talk about a little bit more, but I understand Josh being in the starting five. I don't have a huge issue with it when it comes down to Josh, Morgan, and Sean Ryan as sort of those final three for two spots. I understand wanting to stick with a consistent center. And that's also, by the way, very important for Jordan Love as well, to have somebody at center that he's worked with, that he can trust, that knows the checks, that knows the audibles, that knows all, you know, all the blitz pickups, everything. That's an important piece. So I understand Josh being part of the best five. And that left right guard as the clear and obvious opportunity to go out and compete, to have an opportunity to start from day one. And that's what he's doing. And now we'll get into the fact that he's winning that battle right now with Sean Ryan. So much so that I would be pretty surprised if Jordan Morgan does not win the starting right guard spot. And that's a great start to his career. Now he has to go out and perform. He can't just be a bad right guard. That doesn't necessarily, just because he's starting great, doesn't give you any, you know, points. Royce Newman started his first year. That didn't necessarily mean that there was a logical progression there, but that's a great start overall. If he's the starting right guard and proves that he's capable of doing it. And I think he will. Justice Mosqueda posted a bunch of snaps over on Acme Packing Company from family night. And the very first thing that I did was I went through and I watched every Jordan Morgan snap. It was a good performance from Jordan Morgan. And I actually tweeted it out during the practice as well, that he was having a really nice practice. The TV copy tape of the 20 some snaps that Justice was able to get, I thought backed that up as well. And if you remember, right, I thought coming out of college, there were some things that he was definitely going to need to clean up. And I did wonder if he was ultimately going to be a better guard. OTA and minicamp, rookie minicamp, was not looking so great. He looked out of sorts. He did not look comfortable. And of course, they were playing him left tackle, left guard, right tackle. He was all over the place. And I think Green Bay really made the correct decision to say, we need to settle this guy in somewhere. Right guard's the open opportunity to compete with Sean Ryan. Let's put him at right guard. Let's let him compete and let's see what he can do. So much so that when there is moving around, it's Sean Ryan that's moving around to left guard or center, and Jordan, who is staying at right guard. And so far, it has been paying off in a significant way. The progress that he has made from OTAs and mini camps until training camp and family night the other night, where he looked darn good as a starter at right guard, has been significant. And that's all you want at this point of a rookie's career. And I'll say it one more time. This is the infancy stage of a pro player. There is so much more to go. He has so much more to learn. And as I mentioned the other day, actually, I'm going to bring this back up in case somebody didn't listen to the family night episode, which if you didn't, go listen to it, because there's a lot of great stuff in that. But Zach Cruz tweeted this, that Larry McCarron said about, you know, just kind of Larry McCarron going over Jordan Morgan from Family Night. This was Zach's tweet. Larry McCarron is very high on first round pick. Jordan Morgan said he'll dominate people once he gets the technique down, but he's still getting it done in 11 on 11 and one-on-ones because he's so good and athletic. Doesn't look the part of a rookie. A lot of God-given ability. And listen, if anyone knows the trenches, it's Rock, right? Like, he knows it in and out. He watches it extremely close. And like I said, I went back and watched that film as, well, not the film. Unfortunately, I don't have all 22 of practice and Family Night, but watched that TV copy that Justice posted. And I thought he, again, had a really nice performance. I am right now very pleased with where Jordan is at. I'm excited about what I think he can bring to the table in year one. And this is a very important development, by the way. What's up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action. And if you haven't started playing Prize Picks yet, you should probably sign up right now and you'll quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. There's never been a better time than right now to sign up. You can turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA continue to rack up the gold medals and dominate the competition in Paris. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections and you're locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, most importantly, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Victor Wembanyama and LeBron James as their respective teams look to advance to eventually have a chance to face each other in the finals. Should be a massively fun week of basketball action on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Because let's just say Jordan was not ready, right? You've got Rashid, you've got Elton, you've got Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, not exactly sure if I feel comfortable with that at right guard, but even if it's okay, right? Even if it's a Royce Newman in 2020 or, you know, John Runyon Jr. the last couple of years, maybe it can be okay. And then at right tackle, you got Zach Tom. You feel probably pretty decent about that over that O-line overall. But if Jordan Morgan's not ready, the depth immediately becomes a massive issue. Like, you don't have anyone that you're super comfortable with going in and playing right away. Dillard has had his struggles. Kadeem Telford's been a fun story, but to be frank, he's had some struggles as of late as well. You can tell it's going to take a little bit of time with Telford. I'm still excited about him. I like the story. I think there's some upside there, but he's still learning. Guard, are you going to go Royce Newman? Donovan Jennings has been out this entire time. I don't think Lasita Smith is the answer. Travis Glover has basically, we'll talk about him more in a moment. We'll talk about Jacob Monk more in a moment, but they don't seem totally ready yet. There's just not a lot of other options. Caleb Jones, Luke Tenuta, we can go on. There's not a guy that you necessarily feel comfortable with. So the fact that Morgan has been able to come in, earn, in my opinion, the starting right guard spot, and that allows Sean Ryan to be the guy that comes off the bench and can give you some depth, that is a very important upgrade and just sort of development for this Packers offense and specifically their offensive line. So like I said, I'm very, very pleased with the progress that Jordan's made already, and there's a long way to go. We'll see what he can do in preseason and the rest of training camp. We'll see if he can, in fact, earn that starting right guard spot when they open up the season against the Eagles. But right now, I do expect him to be that starter at right guard against Philly in week one. Number two, Edgerrin Cooper. This is an interesting one. A lot of high hopes for Edgerrin Cooper. Justice and I talked about him the other day, basically saying, and Justice brought up a great point, these linebacker transitions from being just a super athlete in college to having very specific roles and responsibilities in the NFL is a tough transition. We go back to minicamp and OTA, and we remember the story of Matt LaFleur saying he put in a play specifically to attack Edgerrin Cooper, knowing that he was probably going to be a little bit over-aggressive and probably not remember the specific key that he was supposed to do, an assignment he was supposed to do, key read and assignment do. But he ran the play, and Edgerrin Cooper had it covered to perfection or did exactly what he was supposed to do. And so much so that Matt LaFleur went to the coaches and said, you prepared him for that play, right? And they're like, no, not at all. Like, there's a lot of stuff to really like there. The speed he flashes is undeniable. It is a different version of linebacker than you are used to seeing. He is flying around the field. But number one, he's injured right now. We'll see how long it takes him to get back. He can ill afford to miss a ton of time here as he's still trying to ingrain himself in this Jeff Hafley defense. And number two, even pre-injury, he had not worked himself into the starting lineup at either nickel linebacker or in base defense. And going in, there was some question of like, hey, can Edgerrin Cooper just come in and maybe be the guy at linebacker, can even push Quay Walker a little bit? Certainly he's going to be the nickel next to Quay, right? And certainly he's going to be in base defense. As of right now, it had not been. Your base has been Eric Wilson, Quay Walker, and Isaiah McDuffie. Your nickel has been Quay and Isaiah. Your dime has been Quay. So there hasn't been a ton of Edgerrin Cooper in that. Now, he has had some rotation with Isaiah McDuffie and nickel, but it's been primarily McDuffie. There's been some plays where he gets in base, but it's mostly been Wilson and McDuffie and Quay. So what I believe is if everything were healthy, I think Edgerrin would continue to push for that playing time. And I do believe once he's healthy that he's too talented to not have at least a couple of plays and packages for throughout the course of a game. Maybe it's just as a blitzer. Maybe it's as a quarterback spy for Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of different things that Edgerrin Cooper can bring to the table. But it seems like right now, Isaiah McDuffie is that guy next to Quay Walker in nickel. And that's ultimately where you really want him to be. It's okay if Quay is your dime. And quite frankly, I don't really care if it's Quay and Wilson and McDuffie in the base. That's 15% of the snaps at best anyway, right? So I don't really care about that. What I want him to learn is that nickel, because you want that speed, you want that athleticism, and you want that playmaking ability on the field on more of those obvious passing downs. And I think he can bring that to the table. To be very clear, I am extremely excited still about Edgerrin Cooper, but I think a lot of us, myself included, and I think we always need to be careful with this because rookies progress at different rates for all different players. I think a lot of us just expected going into the season, for better or worse, it was going to be Cooper and Quay next to each other. And that has not exactly been the case as of yet. So I don't think that this is a, you know, huge indictment of where Cooper's at. I've told you guys in the past with Quay specifically, that inside linebacker position is a really difficult position to learn as a rookie and come in and perform at a high level right away. It just is. Offensive coordinators are attacking those guys with every single misdirection and thing that makes them think on the field and not react as much as they can. They're giving them everything. So it is really difficult for those rookies to come in, diagnose everything, play fast. And it's just like your head's on a swivel because there can be guys behind you, crossing you, play action, draws, screens, traps, you know, offensive linemen pulling right in your face. Like there's just a ton going on. And you've got to be able to cover running backs like Christian McCaffrey, tight ends like George Kittle and Travis Kelce. You might have to follow a wide receiver on a drag route. You might have to carry a wide receiver up the seam like we saw Quay Walker have to do with Christian Watson the other day. Like there is so much responsibility in that position. So a long way to go still for Edgerrin Cooper, but right now injured and right now even pre-injury was not in that starting lineup. Next, we get to Javon Bullard. Javon Bullard's coming off his best performance at Family Night where he had a couple plays where he jumped routes, almost came up with interceptions. One specifically almost picked, was deflected. The other, he just closed on a pass super quick and forced a deflection that he almost like kind of stumbled into. But unfortunately for him, it hit the ground. You know, he is playing fast. I still, as I mentioned the other day, think he's more of a safety and not like a true slot guy. But there's a long way to go. And I do think that he has some peer cover ability there as well. We saw it in a one-on-one against Christian Watson in practice where he covered him on a slant and broke up the play. And we saw it the other day when he made that pass breakup that he almost picked off, the one we're just talking about in Family Night where he was playing in the slot as well. So he brings a lot of versatility. He brings some playmaking ability. He's had, I think he's had at least one interception in practice, if I remember correctly. And just the way that he plays, the close on the ball, he's playing fast. He seems extremely knowledgeable. It seems like he's always where he's supposed to be. So I think there's a real legitimate chance that he gets the opportunity to start at safety next to Xavier McKinney. Now, right now, he is competing with Anthony Johnson Jr. and Evan Williams, who we'll also talk about. But here's where I'm at with Javon Bullard. I think he's already shown enough of what he's capable of that there has to be some way to get him on the field. Even if Anthony Johnson Jr. or even if Evan Williams ends up winning that safety spot, all right, how do you get him on the field in certain base, you know, in big nickel maybe and play him in the slot? Or do you get him in the, you know, dime defense, which I think would be the case if Evan Williams did win it? Or is there a couple packages here and there where you come and bring him in? Because he's shown the ability to blitz. He's shown the ability to stop the run. And like I said, he's had some really good moments in coverage as well. And he breaks on the ball with haste. And you love to see that from your safety, especially because we haven't really seen him get beat on like a double move or anything like that yet. He seems to be very sound and only attack a ball when he is confident that that's exactly what's going to happen with the ball. And his ability to close on it fast makes it so that he doesn't have to gamble. He can just be in position. And once that quarterback throws the ball, he can be there in an instant. So really nice start for Javon Bullard. And he's definitely in that conversation for the starting safety spot next to Xavier McKinney. Next is Marshawn Lloyd. And Lloyd's another tough one because he was fantastic in OTAs and minicamp. Then he had missed basically the first week and a half of training camp. Then I think did a day or two of individuals. And then we finally got him in some teamwork. He had a potential 50-yard run. Maybe Corey Ballantyne would have had him. Maybe Corey Ballantyne wouldn't have had him. A couple similar type of runs at family night where maybe the defender would have had him. Maybe he made somebody miss. But you can easily see the movement ability, the lateral agility, the quickness, the ability to make people miss in the hole. He is a super talented running back. A question is going to become, we know he's obviously going to make the team. That's unquestioned. Like he's going to be on the 53. But the question becomes, is he the third running back and Jacobs and Dylan are really the top two? Does he work his way into the two and Dylan becomes the three? Or does he work himself into, hey, we just got to find ways to get him on the field, even if it's with Josh Jacobs or when it spells Josh Jacobs, like we got to get him on the field a certain amount of snaps per game. I think that's TBD. And I think you saw one play at family night. Now, to be fair here to Marshawn Lloyd, he didn't really have a great option either way, but he does have a affinity to bounce it outside. And sometimes you just got to put your head down and get some yards. There's a play at family night. He bounced it outside and he probably lost some additional yardage because he tried to get probably a little bit too cute with it. That is something that he is prone to from time to time. So that's something he needs to kind of work on a little bit. But I will say it helps him more than it hurts him, you know, more often. And the other thing I'll say is we know those two issues from college, right? The fumbling, he's been pretty good taking care of the football. There was one missed exchange. I don't count that as like somebody punched the ball out or fumble or anything like that. And to be fair on the missed exchange, he still gathered it in. And then, blitz pickup. That's going to be a huge thing for Marshawn Lloyd as well. So long way to go. The talent is very evident. It is very clearly there. Now it's just how much of an impact can he make in year one? And can he work his way more into the rotation? Or is he going to have to take a back seat to Dylan and Jacobs until he really is fully ingrained in the offense? That's what remains to be seen. Next is Tyron Hopper. Hopper is a very interesting one. And you guys probably remember, Justice said it the other day that he wasn't a huge Hopper guy coming out of the draft. I wasn't a huge Hopper guy coming out of the draft. There's still thing. You go and watch Tyron Hopper in college. There's a lot to like, and you can go back and listen to the deep dive episode. And everyone wants to, hone in on the tackling issues, which were real in college, but there was a lot of other things to really like about him. And he's a physical attacking player. He's got good speed. He's a downhill player. He's a really good blitzer. There's lots to like. And the beautiful thing about draft viewing and pre-draft stuff and watching the tape and things like that is that is one picture of the player. But there is a reason, a very important reason, that these scouts go to the school, see the player in person, that they do the, underwear Olympics at the combine and see them, at their pro days and everything like that, because the player you see in person gives you a different impression a lot of times than what's on tape. Now the tape is very much what matters. How do they play in a game? Everything like that. Like that, that's sort of like the final test, right? But man, when you watch Tyron Hopper in person, you can immediately see why any scout or NFL mind would be drawn to the player. He is big. He is fast. He is strong. He plays physical. And he's made a play in practice just about every single day in the backfield. Now, similarly to Edgerrin Cooper, we have not seen him really have any opportunity to get in with the starters. There's been a couple plays here or there in base, but he's not really been with the nickel. He's not been in base. He's certainly not in dime. He's been with the twos at linebacker. And that tells me that he still has a long ways to go in learning this defense and just earning the trust. But like I said, this is a tough position at linebacker to come in and play right away. This is another player similarly to Edgerrin Cooper that I think if they wanted to, they could give him some specific packages to go and play. And I think he could make an impact by maybe having 5 to 10 plays per game that he has a specific role in. I will say this too. I've really liked what Quay and McDuffie and Eric Wilson have done in base defense so far, but I really would like to see Tyron Hopper get some opportunities and maybe some more obvious run situations. And I'm not sure who you take out in that situation. Like, he's just going to have to earn those snaps, and Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie are really making it that they're earning it right now. So it's a good competition. That's exactly what you want. You want players to push one another for those spots. But I do think he's got great physicality and good speed that I think he could make an impact in that base defense if given an opportunity. But so far, that has not been given to him. Listen, if you're a rookie, you got to earn that spot. I get it. I totally understand it. But right now, Tyron Hopper seems to be more of a depth piece than anyone that they're looking to get in the lineup at this time. But again, preseason will go a long way. And I'll bring up Chris Barnes, like I always usually do around this time. Nobody at the end of training camp had any idea that Green Bay felt they had a player in Chris Barnes. We didn't see him with the ones at all. We barely recognized him with the twos. Remember, that was the year there was no preseason because of COVID. But everyone thought he was just going to get cut, which, by the way, he did. Green Bay played the gambit of feeling like they could cut him and nobody would claim him, because who was going to claim Chris Barnes? Like, nobody had said a peep about him all training camp. And of course, he clears waivers. Green Bay picks him back up and he starts the next week and goes on to start a bunch of games that year. So you just don't know sometimes. Sometimes Green Bay hides these players. It might be Tyron Hopper and Edgerrin Cooper having a huge role in week one, and we just don't know it. And Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie go back to the bench. That could easily be the case. But right now, seems like McDuffie, Wilson, and Quay are your base linebackers. McDuffie and Quay are your nickel, and Quay is your dime. But I like what I've seen from Tyron Hopper so far, more in person and more in camp than I even thought of what the tape was. And I can see why Green Bay spent a third round pick on him. Then we get to fourth round pick. Player Green Bay moved up for in the draft, Evan Williams, who so far has been above advertised. He looks to me like he can legitimately start right now next to Xavier McKinney, and he just might. The fact that, by the way, Javon Bullard, second round pick, everyone was hyped about, and he so far, in my opinion, Bullard has lived up to that hype. He's looked really good, again, coming off a great family night practice. If you would have told me all of that, I would have said it's clear and obvious that Bullard is the starter next to Xavier McKinney, and it might be, but the fact that Evan Williams and to a other extent Anthony Johnson Jr., but the fact that those guys are hanging in there and really competing for that spot just shows you how well Evan Williams and Anthony Johnson Jr. are also playing. And like I said, I think I would probably put Williams maybe a slight tick ahead of Bullard, although Bullard's family night performance certainly has made that more of a 50-50 proposition. But we've seen multiple interceptions from Evan Williams. I think it's 3 or 4 at this point. A deep, interception where he was the deep safety, goes up and grabs it, high points the ball, comes down with it. We've seen him jump routes. We've seen him do a little bit of everything. I love the communication from Evan Williams. The football IQ is extremely high. You can tell his instincts are there. It looks like he is a veteran out there. It truly, truly does. And I don't think there's like a, making a decision of, well, Bullard's super talented, but Williams is more pro ready. I think Williams has a lot of upside as well. So it's going to be really interesting as to which one wins that job. And again, Anthony Johnson Jr. is still in that conversation as well. But I will go as far to say, and I said it with Bullard too, I think Williams and Bullard are both in the conversation for getting playing time, no matter how it comes, no matter who's the starter. I think both of them are just too talented and they've shown enough where you got to find a way to get those guys on the field in some capacity. I will finish up with the back half of this and go a little bit more quick on these final five players. Jacob Monk, I would say, is a little bit slower start to camp. And it's really tough to glean exactly what's going on in the trenches from play to play. But he's had some trouble with snapping and some botched snaps. And to be crystal clear, with botched snaps, especially at camp, even if you have it on all 22 and you slow that thing down, the majority of the time, it's almost impossible to tell if it's something the center did or if it's something that the quarterback did. Sometimes you can if the quarterback pulled out too early or the center, sometimes you can, but a lot of times you can't. You certainly can't do it at training camp. So it could be that it's been the quarterbacks at fault, but when it's one player that is having consistent issues with snaps like Jacob Monk has, you usually kind of put two and two together and say, all right, he probably shoulders some of that blame with those missed snaps. And other than that, I just haven't seen a consistent ability to, you know, really kind of anchor. We've seen some immediate pressures. We haven't seen a ton of ability to really clear people in the run game. So I think there's still a ways to go here for Jacob Monk. And this is a fifth round pick, right? I think there's still a lot of meat on the bone. I think there's a really good player there. I really do. But I just think it might take a little bit more time and he might not be ready to come in and really contribute from day one. But a lot of camp left, a lot of preseason left. Let's see how he looks specifically in preseason. I think Monk's going to be one to really kind of keep a close eye on and see how he performs, because quite frankly, Green Bay could really use him as maybe one of those next guys up following Sean Ryan. They're desperately looking for somebody. Like, they know their top six. Who's that seventh? Right now, that is totally up for grabs. And I don't know who it would be if this, you know, season were to start today. And Jacob Monk has every right to be in that conversation if he can start taking some steps in a positive direction. Next up is Ketan Oladapo, out all of minicamp and rookie minicamp and OTAs, out at the start of training camp. We've seen him for a couple practices and individual work, but that's been it. So we are giving Ketan an incomplete at this point, and these next few weeks will be super important for him to try to catch up and show what he's capable of. He might have to end up being a special teams guy to begin with, and he's probably just maybe too far behind the Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Anthony Johnson, Jr. trio, but I am excited to see what he can do, and hopefully he can get into team drills sooner rather than later. Travis Glover has been mostly working with the threes. Looks like it's going to be more of a redshirt season for him. Man, does he look the part. Big, strong, physical, decent mover for his size. But again, he's got a long ways to go. And right now, he is only with the number threes. And it seems like Caleb Jones, Kadeem Telford, Andre Dillard are all getting opportunities ahead of him. And like I said, it seems like he's probably going to have to maybe have a redshirt season. Same for probably Michael Pratt. And Michael Pratt's made some really impressive throws. These, I think, done an overall really nice job of taking care of the football. Not a lot of picks, not a lot of interceptions, or even, you know, interceptable throws or turnover-worthy plays. So I think there's things that he's doing well. But you can tell from Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich's responses that he is still going through it. He's a rookie quarterback trying to get ingrained into this system, into this playbook, and really learn everything. And it's just going to take some time. And I think he makes the 53. I really do. But I think he makes it as a developmental redshirt quarterback that is going to need probably a year or two before he's ready. But I do think there's enough upside there that you can develop him into a potential top end backup quarterback in this league. If he can pick up the playbook sooner rather than later and start to really have things slow down a little bit, do I think you could push Sean Clifford? Sure. But it's going to take the prerequisite of him really slowing down and understanding this offense at a much higher level. Otherwise, it's probably just a non-starter at this point. And then last but not least, Kalen King, final pick of the draft, seventh rounder of the Packers draft, seventh rounder, almost the final pick of the entire draft. He's been really impressive. And I think he probably is somebody that is a active member on game days. I think he makes the 53, which is, again, never a guarantee, especially as a late seventh round pick. But I think he's shown enough upside. He's made multiple interceptions, had a pick six in a practice, battles for everything, should be a player that they can utilize on special teams, can play some outside, can play in the slot. He could even, you know, upgrade himself to the backup slot corner behind Keyshawn Nixon. Now he's going to have to beat out Corey Ballantyne. He might even need to beat out Javon Bullard for that spot as well. But he's in the conversation. I like the fact that they're using him in the slot. And his ability to battle and come up with some big plays has already been evident. And he doesn't get beat easily. Even when you complete a pass against him, he's right there. And he's either going to get you down or he's going to, you know, make a play on the ball. So it's been a really nice start, especially for a seventh round guy in Kalen King. All right, so we need to wrap that all up, right? I think from a starting standpoint, Jordan Morgan looks like he's going to have every opportunity to win and start at right guard. And then you've got Javon Bullard or Evan Williams, who probably is going to start next to Xavier McKinney, one of the two. Not sure how I would put the odds if I were betting today. I think it's probably a true coin flip, and Anthony Johnson Jr. will have a say there as well. But my guess is one of those two start. So starters, Jordan Morgan and either Bullard or Williams. And then you have contributors, players that are going to be active on game days and probably having some sort of role. I believe the other one, meaning whoever does not start between Javon Bullard and Evan Williams, will potentially still have a role on defense and get a smattering of plays to make an impact in the game. I do believe Edgerrin Cooper, Now, maybe it's 8 plays a game, but I do think they will utilize him in some capacity and get him in the game to utilize some of his athleticism. And I think Marshawn Lloyd is in that category as well, where I do believe his playmaking will get him on the field and get him a certain amount of touches and snaps per game. So contributors, either Bullard or Williams, whoever doesn't earn the starting role, Edgerrin Cooper and Marshawn Lloyd. Solid depth pieces, I think both Tyron Hopper and Kalen King are projecting as players that make the 53, are likely active on game days, probably on special teams, but also give you good depth at both linebacker and corner respectively. Redshirt seasons, Jacob Monk, Travis Glover, and Michael Pratt, I think, are leaning more towards three players who are probably going to be on the 53, or at least, you know, earn their, you know, hopefully earn their way onto the 53. But if they do, probably more of a redshirt season. If anyone can move up from that list, it's probably Jacob Monk. But for right now, I would say those three are more towards redshirt seasons. And then incomplete, unknown, unsure is Ketan Oladapo so far due to the injury. So just to recap it one more time. Starters, Morgan and either Bullard or Williams. Contributors, the other one, either Bullard or Williams, Cooper and Lloyd. Solid depth pieces, Hopper and King. Redshirt seasons, Monk, Glover, and Pratt. And unknown slash incomplete, Ketan Oladapo. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. It's a really fun rookie class. I'm excited to see all of them play in preseason. That's going to do it for me right now. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Che Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Rataka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Guestford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.